Well, thank you for singing.
I'm singing. Your friend, listen.
Well, the Lord is good. How do you respond to that?
All the time.
Well, I'm glad. Please. Please. Please.
Yo.
Can you have somebody to deal with him if he's going to be a trouble? Well, okay. Well, I'm glad you are all here today. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your hearts to listen to what God has for us. Inevitably, trouble will invade our lives. For example, a bad report from a medical test, the betrayal of a trusted friend, getting the news from your boss that your job is being cut, the sudden passing away of a loved one in your family, a spouse who walks away from your marriage, a child who rejects you, losing your home and finding yourself on the streets, parents who disown you and leave you to fend for yourself. The list of possibilities is long, but there are only two options. What are those two options? Option one is to forge ahead on our own. Option two is to turn to Jesus. Folks, may I say to you today, flying solo in the face of trouble or forging ahead on our own is not a good idea. But you ask, why is it not a good idea? Here is why it is not a good idea. Please listen. It's not a good idea because it can lead to bad behavior patterns such as blaming God instead of blessing God. Grumbling against God instead of giving Him thanks. Focusing on our difficulties instead of fixing our gaze on the deliverer who is Jesus Christ. Retreating into defeat instead of resting in the dependability of God Almighty. Or spinning out of control and into despair instead of setting our eyes on Jesus to guide us through our troubles and trials. While the disciples of Jesus Christ, who were just like you and me, were not exempted from troubles and trials in their lives. They found themselves in a fierce storm. Instead of flying solo in the face of trouble or forging ahead on their own, they turned to the Lord Jesus in desperation. You see, the disciples needed rest, but they encountered a terrible storm. They were to learn the lesson that a Christian life may be more stormy weather than calm seas. But thanks be to God, they had Jesus in their boat. This brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word to deliver to you at this crucial time. Please, I want you to listen to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of supplication, and the Spirit of supernatural power is prepared to plant the seed of God's precious truth in order to change all those who are believers in Jesus Christ here more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the head and healer of the church, and to convict those who are not redeemed concerning their sin of unbelief in order to lead them into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost. So here is the message in a nutshell, and I want you to listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. Jesus' presence with the believer in the storms of life is a life preserver that keeps the soul from sinking in a sea of trouble. We all have trouble knocking on our door. But Jesus' presence is that life preserver that will prevent us from sinking into that sea of trouble. I tell you, friends, our gospel message today is going to encourage all of us here who have hearts to receive and ears to hear to go to Jesus in all the storms of life, knowing that the boat can never sink when Jesus is in it. Please turn to your friend and ask him, is Jesus in your boat today? Well, I tell you, folks, if Jesus is in your boat will never go under. Not only that, he will also reveal more of himself to you in whatever storm of life you may be facing. This is exactly what we see happening to the disciples on the Lake of Galilee. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, on that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, that the waves were breaking over, the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?
Yes, Lord.
And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Then they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who then is this that even this, the wind and the sea obey him? This story is a popular one because three of the four gospel writers recorded it in the gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were guided by the Holy Spirit to preserve it for us. And I tell you, friends, this story is loaded with rich, relevant, and refreshing lessons for the believer in Jesus Christ, and even for the unbeliever who is listening to this message. Now, it is important to note that at this point in the Gospel of Mark, the Lord Jesus had already demonstrated his power over disease, healing so many people, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed about him in order to touch him. He had also demonstrated his power over demons, casting them out with a word and not permitting them to speak. Now the time had come for the person of the Lord Jesus to display his absolute control and authority over the destructive forces of nature that threatened to drown his disciples. And soon after that, the Lord Jesus would demonstrate his power over death itself, proving that he is the very Son of God who has life in himself, just as the Father himself has life in himself. So as I've said earlier, this gospel is loaded, story is loaded with rich and refreshing lessons for the believer and the unbeliever. But you ask, what are these lessons? Well, this story begins by showing us that Jesus is indeed in charge. He's in control. He's in command. Will you please notice the first lesson the Holy Spirit is bringing to our attention in this story? It has to do with the directive of Jesus to his disciples in verse 35. Being one who has supreme authority, the Lord Jesus now gives an order or a specific instruction for his disciples to follow. Notice what the Bible says again in verse 35. It says, "And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.'" That is the directive the Lord Jesus gave. Friends, may I say to you, this is a special directive indeed. But you say, what makes this a special directive? I tell you why. You see, the Lord Jesus could have said to them, "My followers, I'm going to the other side. I'll see you later." But he didn't. Notice the Bible says, he uses the words, let us go over. But you say, what's the big deal about let us go over? Well, please listen carefully. Here's how this is a big deal to me. The Lord Jesus, the very Son of God, is including the disciples in his divine plan and purpose. You see, Jesus could have gone himself. He didn't even need their boat because he could walk on water to the other side. But he chose to invite them, to involve them in his divine plan and purpose. How special is that? Actually, this is not the first time the Lord Jesus used the expression, "let us," in the Gospel of Mark, to invite his disciples to share or to participate in his divine purposes. In Mark chapter 1 verse 38, including his disciples in God's plan of spreading the good news, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." What a privilege. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Judas the betrayer brought those who had arrested the Lord Jesus, our Lord said to the other disciples with him, "Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Mark chapter 14 verse 44. What an honor it was for the disciples to be included in the very purposes of God Almighty. Now notice, the Bible says, on that day. If somebody says, on that day, I want to know, what day? Well, it was the day that the Lord Jesus taught multitude not tickled their ears. It was that day when the Lord Jesus spoke many parables to the masses. It was that day that the Lord Jesus also privately explained everything to his disciples. In other words, it was a day full of preaching and teaching without taking a break. In the evening of that day, the Bible tells us Jesus said to the disciples, not to the crowds. Please take note of that. Jesus spoke to the disciples, not to the crowd. He said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." You see, Jesus and his disciples were on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, but now the Lord Jesus directed them to go to the eastern shore of the sea. That means that they will be leaving the territory of Galilee. Remember, Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth. That is in the region of Galilee. Now they'll be leaving the region of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes. If you look at Mark chapter 5 verse 1, that is their destination. That is where they were headed. Actually, the eastern shore have no large cities, and so there were fewer people on that side of the lake. Mark mentions no reason for Jesus' decision to go to the other side. Perhaps Jesus simply wanted to escape from the crowds and get a little break for himself and renew his strength. We may not know exactly the reason why Jesus gave his disciples a clear and concise directive to go to the eastern shore. But here is what the Holy Spirit doesn't want you and me to miss. And that is this. Please listen carefully. Jesus directs the lives of his disciples. Jesus directs the lives of his disciples. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, are you letting Jesus direct your life moment by moment? Are you letting Jesus lead you day by day? Are you allowing Jesus to guide you on the path he has chosen for your life? Are you trusting Jesus to show you the way he wants you to go in order to fulfill his purpose in your life? To reveal more of himself to you? To demonstrate what he can do for you? Because this is exactly what we are going to see in this story. Jesus is going to reveal more of himself to the disciples, and he's going to show them what he can do for them when they turn to him. Now, do you know why these questions are important for you and me? Please listen. It's important because if you allow Jesus Christ to lead your life, no storm will be able to prevent you from getting to the destination Jesus wants you to get to. I tell you, friends, no power in the entire universe will be able to stop Jesus from taking you to the destination he has planned for you to be. Please listen, no matter the opposition or obstacle on the path Jesus has directed you to go, you can be certain, you can be convinced, you can be full of confidence that Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, will overcome that opposition or obstacle and bring you safely to the other side. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is exactly what happened in the lives of the disciples of Jesus. Oh yes, they will face a fierce and furious storm on the way to the other side. But the Lord Jesus overcame that storm and brought them safely to the other side. And Jesus is more than willing to do that for you and for me. Now I believe with all my heart that today, this very hour, Jesus is giving you a directive also. Yeah. But you ask, what directive is Jesus giving to me today? Well, please listen carefully now. For some of you here, Jesus' instruction to you is this. Let's go from the shore of alcoholism to the other side. To the shore of acceptance. Where you will always enjoy my full acceptance without ever being controlled by alcohol. For others of you, Jesus' order to you is get in a boat. Leave the life of drug addiction behind to go to the other side, that is the life of deliverance from drug abuse and addiction, and become all that I want you to become. For others, Jesus' directive to you today is, get in a boat with me and let's leave the shore of fear, where your life has been plagued with fear, with all kinds of fear, the fear of the future, the fear of failure, the fear of disappointment, the fear of death, the fear of being forsaken and forgotten, the fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule, to go to the other side, the shore of freedom, where you will experience true freedom. Because I am the Son of God who says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But the question is, are you willing to get in the boat and leave the shore of alcoholism, the life of drug addiction, and the shore of fear into freedom? Well, having given a simple and straightforward directive to his disciples, the Bible now reveals to us how the disciples responded to Jesus' instructions to them. You see, the disciples had a choice to make, just like you and I always have a choice to make. They could have chosen to stay put on the western shore, or they could have chosen to follow through to go to the other side. Fortunately for us, they made the latter choice of following through on the instruction that Jesus gave to them. So the Holy Spirit now brings us to our second lesson in this story. And this lesson has to do with the diligent obedience of the disciples in verse 36. I tell you folks, obedience to Jesus is the best choice to make in life. Let's all say, obedience to Jesus is the best choice to make. Obedience to Jesus is the best choice to make. Will you please notice what the Bible says in verse 36? It says, leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. While the disciples responded to Jesus' request by taking Jesus just as he was in the boat. I love that phrase, just as he was. Before I explain what that phrase means, I want you to see how diligent the disciples were in obeying Jesus' directive to them. Notice the Bible begins verse 36 by saying, leaving the crowd. Now the word leaving comes from the verb which also means leave behind, let go, forsake. So the disciples had to make the decision of leaving behind the multitude in order to obey Jesus Christ. You see, the disciples could have chosen to hang out with the crowd. Many of us like to hang out with crowds. They could have chosen to mingle with the multitude and had a great time. They could have chosen to enjoy the company of the crowd and had a blast. But they knew that having a great time with the crowd and having a blast with them pale in comparison to being in the company of the Christ, the Son of God. Let me ask you today, what are you being asked to leave behind in order to enter the boat with Jesus? What do you need to let go of in order to get in the same boat with Jesus? What do you need to forsake in order to join Jesus in the boat to the other side where he wants to take you? My friend, you know exactly what Jesus wants you to leave behind, to let go of, to forsake, in order to get into the boat with Jesus to the other side, to the destination he wants to take you to. Now please notice, the Bible says in verse 36, they took him along with them in the boat just as he was. Now the question is, what does the Bible mean when it says, just as he was? Well, this means when the disciples took Jesus along with them in the boat, there was no Shekinah glory shining over the face of Jesus Christ. There was nothing special or supernatural or caring making the disciples to feel a sense of awe about Jesus. Their eyes saw Jesus like they've always seen him. But soon, that will change, and the disciples will gain a new sense of awe about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as he reveals more of himself to them in the storm. Notice, Jesus will reveal himself to them in the storm. Not outside of the storm, but right in the storm, he will reveal himself. But for now, they just took him along, just as he was. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ was looking forward to the time when he will reveal more of himself to the disciples. Now, would you please notice that the Bible mentions in verse 36 that other boats were with Jesus. Only Mark in his gospel mentions that. If you look at Matthew and Luke, who told the same story, they didn't mention this. But only Mark mentions that there were other boats going with him. Now the question I want an answer for is, what happened to the other boats in the storm? Well, please listen carefully. We are not told what happened to the other boats. Perhaps they were lost in the storm or driven back to the western shore of the Lake of Galilee. But personally, I believe they were lost in the storm. They were perished. But you say, how do you know that, Mr. Preacher, that they were lost? Here is how I know. First of all, remember I told you, Jesus did not give them the instruction to go to the other side. He only gave that instruction to the disciples. Secondly, and worst of all, Jesus was not in their boat when the storm struck. They encountered the storm without Jesus in their boats. Please listen to me. To encounter a storm in your life without Jesus in your boat is a recipe for disaster. If you are not a genuine born-again believer, then may I humbly say to you today that Jesus is not in your boat. You'll be flying solo in the face of trouble, in your storms. You'll be without a life preserver when storms suddenly arise against your boat. And that, my friend, is a recipe for disaster and doom. But it doesn't have to be that way for you today. All that can change. How? You simply tell Jesus today that you have been sailing in life without him in your boat. And that you are a sinner lost in the sea of sin. Take Jesus today at his word that when he's in your boat, he will save you and set you free. And trust Jesus today with childlike faith that he alone is able to save you, not only from the storms of life, but more importantly, from the sea of sin and Satan. And thank Jesus today for his willingness to save you. Because the Bible tells us he came to seek and save the lost. Now, if you are a believer today in Jesus Christ, and you have concerns in your life about the storms you are facing, and you want to turn to Jesus tonight and let him calm the storms in your life. Whatever the storm you are facing as a believer in Jesus Christ, I invite you to come here and we will pray for you that Jesus will calm the storms in your life. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, this is where you come. I'll be praying for you because you need Jesus in your life, just as I need him in my life to save me from my sins. So this is the time for you to respond to the message.